Thank you, guys. You loving Jesus tonight? Am I on? Hopefully I am. One of the things God has showed me, and this nation is going to have a shift back to God. What am I doing?
Let me double check.
Yeah. Am I on yet? Yeah. Okay. But this nation is going to begin to have a shift back to God.
Amen.
Yeah. We're going to come to a season where there's, at least for a season, I believe, for a miraculous recovery. Come on now. I believe that. I honestly believe for a season, as we shift back, God's going to show up in very unusual ways. And we're going to have a season where we can have more harvest than ever before. So what I've been doing all year, you guys know it because I've been here before, is we're talking about positioning. Because we need to be in position to be part of the answer. Come on now. Because if this nation is going to shift, it means we're going to get on the move. Come on now. Hallelujah. And this, I was thinking about a scripture I've been meditating on in Revelation 19:10, how the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And how many people understand every one of our lives should prophesy?
Yes. Amen.
Come on now.
Yes.
That literally when God has done anything for you, when you begin to testify of what Jesus has done, it speaks to someone else in that same condition.
Yes.
Come on now. If you've been delivered from drugs, you have basically that testimony prophesies God will do it again.
Yes.
Yes.
One of the reasons I was thinking about that is recently my son had to write his personal salvation testimony. And I thought, what's he going to write? I mean, he was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost at 4. Come on. I thought, well, and that's actually what he wrote. He said, really? He said, there's not a whole lot to tell you about my non-Christian days. I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at 4. But he said, my real testimony started at birth. And it was the first time he had ever shared the importance of what took place when God did a miracle. And he started talking about how the doctors gave him up to be brain dead, pretty much, a vegetable. And he said, you know, today I'm one of the leading academic people in America. Only God. Only God. You know, this week he got a weather app out, you know, Tulsa weather, instantweathermaps.com, and he put it out, and I said, Joey, what do you think? He said, I think I'll be 50 in the world by the end of the week. It opened up at 12. And I'm thinking, where God's taking this young guy? And where does God want to take us? Every one of us has a testimony. It may not be intellectual, it may not be, but every one of us has something to tell because there's someone else where we were.
That's right.
And if Jesus came in, we're not there anymore.
That's right.
Come on. And they need to hear they can get out of what they're in. Isaiah 33:6, you know, I'm going to go all over the place tonight. I hope you like it. If not, I'm leaving town tomorrow anyway. That kind of helps. It really helps you to be bold when you know you don't have to stick around. But Isaiah 33:6 says, and he shall be the stability of your times. That's what it says in New American Standard. I think King James says, "And you know, what knowledge and wisdom will be the stability of your times." I like it better that he shall be the stability of your times. A wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. How many people understand that God, one of the things God wants to do in the church more than anything else is he wants us to be stable?
Yes.
You know, I found out about people that people, fathers of the faith, if you ever get around them, they're always the same. When they're under pressure, you don't know it. Come on. They're always the same. Always. Many times they don't get sky high, but they don't bottom out either. They're just stable people. And God wants his church to be rock solid.
Yes.
That in unstable times we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
And one of the reasons I'm talking about this, in a moment I'm going to begin to talk to you about things I use that are checklists to see if I'm in position to receive. Isaiah 43:18, most of you know it's the scripture God gave me for this year or until he takes me off of it, maybe next year too. But it says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Will you not be aware of it?" How many of you understand, I believe God's doing a new thing, but this is what God told me. He's doing a new thing, but my people are not in position to receive it yet. So they're not aware of it. Many of us are aware it's a different season, but we're not aware yet of what that season is. We know something shifted, but we're not sure what the shift is. Come on. Some of you can say amen. And he said, once you perceive what he's doing, it will cause roadways to be in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It will change everything. One word from God can change everything. One revelation can bring revival to this area. One word can cause you to prosper. One idea. When God wants to prosper people, he doesn't rain down money. He rains down ideas. Come on. Yeah, I mean, my son is proof of that. He's a prosperous young man. Why? He has ideas. And they're not all his. And God wants to give you the big idea. Come on now. Hallelujah. That one idea that puts you on top. That one idea that directs your life for a season. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Where the light turns on and you're not in the dark anymore.
Yeah.
Come on. See, 2 Corinthians 13:15 says we need to test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And there are times I give myself personal tests. They say, God, am I really? Because he wants us, the just shall live by faith. I try to find out, okay, God, and a lot of the tests I give myself are the one-liners I speak. They're not just cute phrases to me. They're things I live by. And I believe God wants you, to at least hear these things and just test yourself. Don't become introspective. But at the same time, see if you've let some things slide. The number one thing God showed me is what you magnify controls you. I say it all the time. But I continue to have to ask myself, what have I been magnifying?
Yeah.
Am I magnifying my problems? Am I magnifying the situations that are negative? Am I magnifying God? Am I magnifying his word? You know, Psalm 34:3 says, "Come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." I sought the Lord. He heard me. And he delivered me from my fears, all my fears. So when you begin to magnify God, fear leaves. Because usually fear is the magnification of the wrong thing. Come on. Does this make sense?
Yes.
When the children of Israel magnified their enemies instead of the word that God gave them, it not only cost them to die in the wilderness, it changed the way they saw themselves. By not magnifying what God magnified, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. I think the number one problem in the church is a poor self-image. And I believe a poor self-image comes by not magnifying the right things.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
That's right.
You know, see, that will preach. At least it just did. At least I know. But it will. See, I found out something. When you begin to magnify God, you attract God. You know, we build a throne and He comes. He's enthroned on our praises. You know, one time the Lord said, He said, remember when you used to sing and make up songs to me? He said, you praise me in church, but you used to do it all the time in the car. He said, I miss that. He said, you miss it too, but you don't know it. Come on.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? You know, build the throne. I remember years ago when I was in the garage lifting weights, and my son came, and he was 4 years old, and he said, Daddy, you're the world's strongest man. I didn't tell him the truth. I didn't lie. I didn't say, yes, I am. But I didn't say, no, son, I'm not. I said, hey, I want my kid to think I'm the strongest. I knew it wasn't going to last long. I want him to think I'm the smartest. That didn't last past two. But still. But, you know, don't tell. But the bottom line is that you're the strongest. And I was lifting, I was military pressing. And he said, Daddy, I bet you can lift a lot more weight than that. You're so strong. You are so strong. And I forgot how old I was. I thought it was 20 years before when I used to lift all the time. So I put 25 pounds on, a 25-pound weight on one side, 25 pounds on the other. Dumb. And I lifted it somehow. And then I lied. I confess right now. I said, Joey, the phone's ringing. Go in the house, and that phone wasn't ringing. My back was yelling, but my phone wasn't ringing. But you know why I showed off for my son? Because he gave me some praise.
Yeah.
You know what God says? I want to do so much more, but my people won't praise me.
Yeah, that's right.
He said if they would give me some encouragement, I would show up and show off.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Some of you going to get this. God's looking for worshipers. He's looking.
Yes. Yes.
He wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those who are worshipers of Him, whose heart is perfect towards Him. Come on, somebody. You know, years ago, there are certain people that have marked my life. You know, my dad just recently went home to be with the Lord. He did about a month ago, a little bit over a month. And, you know, there are things he says that I'll never forget. There's stories that he would tell every time we get around him. Have you ever heard this one? We could all repeat word for word. But, you know, I'm going to miss that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, every time we get together, we'll probably tell the story as though Dad was there.
Yeah.
You remember how Dad used to bore us with this one? He said, what about this? No, anyway. Just kidding. He's probably looking to heaven and saying, oh, man. But the bottom line, he used to tell me, he said, I want you to work 6 half-days a week. You choose which 12 hours you work. That was a work ethic. When I was at Victory Christian Center, my pastor of many years was in heaven probably cheering with my dad. Billy Joe Daugherty, I'll never forget, one of the things he taught me is that thank you and thanksgiving is the key to more. I remember when we would walk into a staff meeting, and Victory would need $300,000 on that Sunday. And we would walk in wondering how, if God met the need, because of, you know, building fund and all that that would do. And Billy Joe, pastor, would get up there and he'd walk in and he said, you know, we had a great Sunday. $50,000 came in the offering. And we would be depressed. It's like, oh, we needed $300,000, we got $50,000. You know what he would say? He would say, let's thank God for what he has brought in. Let's thank God for the abundance that he's brought in. Let's begin to praise him. And by the end of the week, the rest would come. But I think if he didn't change the atmosphere, some of you, come on, because of ungratefulness, have basically stopped the blessing from flowing. I know I'm guilty at times, centering on what I don't have instead of being thankful for what I do have. Come on. You know, complaining about this nation. All you have to do is visit another one, you'll stop complaining. Come on, that's true. We still are the best nation. Come on. We need some help, but we're the best one. Don't let anyone else tell you that's not true. It is. See, another thing that God began to put on inside of me, I check on, is who's my source? You know, and the statement God gave me is what God orders, he pays for. That's one of my favorite statements. I preached it back in 1975. I heard Joyce Meyer say it in 81. And from that moment on, everyone said, just like Joyce Meyer says. It's the only one-liner I've ever had that it bugs me when they say that. It's like, that's mine! But I probably heard it from somebody else, but it wasn't her. I don't think. But the bottom line, just kidding a little bit. But how many of you understand that kingdom life, when we're worried, we've disconnected? In teaching about seeking first the kingdom, one of the things they say is that, you know, we should never be concerned in Matthew 6 about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. And God told, he told him, he said, hey, if you're having problems with this, go bird watching for a little while. Don't shoot that bird. You got to learn from it. My current pastor went dove hunting. We prayed for the doves. He can shoot any other bird. Don't shut. I can just see, yo, hey, the Holy Spirit was descending like a dove, but our pastor shot it. No, my. It just doesn't seem right to me. Anyway, that's a diversion. But the bottom line is how many people understand when you're trusting God, when we worry, we're showing God we don't trust him. He takes care of the birds. He clothes the lilies.
Yes, thank you.
He's going to take care of you.
Yes.
That God literally is your source of supply.
Yes.
That every time you come to him with need, he's going to mention seed. You know why? Because he wants your trust. When you mention what you don't have, he says, what do you have? And then you know he's going to ask you to give it to him. You know, years ago, I remember, you know, years ago, Pam and I were, you know, saving up. My wife and I were saving up money for our second honeymoon. It was, you know, 5 years after we were married. And it took us 5 years to save enough money to go back to Florida. And I was teaching, you know, at Victory Bible Institute in the morning and the evening, I was working a regular job with a fixed income. I don't know why they ever call it fixed income. Usually it's a broke income. Come on. Well, it was just one of those things. It was really hard, I mean, to save anything. And, you know, but we were giving our tithes and our offerings. things that we had dedicated to God. But about a month before the trip, I told Pam, I don't want to go to church. She said, what? You have to go to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. I said, I want to send in our tithes, send in our offering, but if I know if we go to church, I'm going to be sitting on the front row or the back, second row where I always sat, and our pastor would share something, and God would say, put the vacation money in the book. I said, I was prophesying to myself. And sure enough, Pam said, you have to go. So it was her fault I was there that Sunday. And I showed, I don't even remember what the project was, but the camera was on me. Live service. Who was that guy in the second row weeping so hard? It was me. My vacation was about ready to go in the bucket. And it wasn't one of my bucket lists. Yeah, I sat there. In fact, God was speaking to me, give all that money. I thought, no. Lord, you don't have to talk to my wife. And I was praying he wouldn't. And I looked over at my wife. She looked at it. She said, give it all. Obey God. And I cried like a baby. But I put the money. Some of you have been here. Put the money in the bucket. And the moment I did, faith arose. It was like, it's almost like a gift of faith. In fact, when Pam looked at me, because we had decided we were not going to borrow money for anything. So we were, you know, so she looked at me, she said, cancel the vacation. I said, if God wanted my vacation money, he'll give me a vacation. I'm not canceling anything. And I knew it was from God. We had never had anyone give us anything. I mean, I never had anyone walk up and give me money. Never. You know, we weren't in a traveling ministry yet. Through all the years, even when I was youth pastor, I never had anyone do that. I mean, before I left the church, people were handing money left and right to me. It was freaky. Before the week was over, we had more money to take the vacation, and it was on God. In fact, we elevated. We basically said, hey, we're going to do this thing a lot. Now we can afford to really do it right. I think, God, if you're paying for it, I'm in it, baby. In fact, I found out something. When you trust God with your finances, it's not hard to give because it's not your stuff. I have no problem giving away anyone else's stuff. And since I'm a steward and not an owner, when God says he wants his stuff, come on. Because whatever you own is cursed. Whatever God owns is blessed. If it's not God's, it's not blessed. Come on. He just lets you enjoy it. Amen. Does this make sense to you? See, my God shall supply all my need. He shall. I want you to get into that. I don't care what the economy's doing down here. The world economy eventually is going to collapse.
Yes.
Come on.
That's right.
So God has got to be our source.
Yes.
Because if you're just tied to the economy down here, you're going to suffer loss.
Yeah, that's right.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. I've never have. I've never seen people who trusted God and what God didn't come through. I've seen people not get all their greeds, but they always got their needs met. Sometimes in unusual ways. But it works. I'm telling you right now, make God your source. Make God your source. Make God your source. And check yourself to see if he really is. Because if he's not, you're going to have a hard time in the days ahead. Come on. But if he is, you can be blessed while the world is going down. You can be going up. Come on. Does this make sense? See, God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap. We need to understand also, one of the things I constantly say, is this all right? that your attitude does determine your altitude. I've preached that a lot, but you need to understand most of our problems are attitudinal. You know, it's almost like even you can grow weary because of the wrong attitude. You can be doing the right thing with the wrong attitude and grow weary in doing good. In fact, usually when you are growing weary, that is an indication that you need an attitude adjustment. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, we need to have the same attitude in this that was in Christ Jesus. You know, I used to say that all the time, especially with my son, watch your tude. And it's funny because he'd say it back at me at times. I'd be driving, somebody cut me off. Daddy said, watch your tude. Oh, shut up. It's like my wife, you know, when she knows when I need a certain teaching I've already done. She puts the CD and she says, Why don't you do what you preach, old man of God? I say, why don't you leave right now? No. Just kidding. Sort of. Come on. But how many of you understand? You know, every airplane has an attitude gauge. And measures the nose of the airplane versus the horizon. So when an airplane's going to take off, it's called a nose-high attitude. When an airplane's going to either land or crash, it's a nose-down attitude. And be honest with you, if some of you walked in here today with your nose down, that's where you're heading.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. God, that's why Jesus says the glory in Psalm 3:3. He's the glory and the lifter of our head. He's the glory and the lifter. In Psalm 21, it says, when all these things are taking place, look up. Not look down, look up, for redemption draws nigh. That's why in Psalm 24, I believe starting with verse 4, it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Your heads be lifted up so that you can open up the gates for the King of Glory to come in. See, I found out something. You'll never experience glory with your head down. You never will. When I used to play ball, one of the things that we learned, you know, when you play 162 games a year, if you are very, very, if you're a world champion, you still lose about 62 games. It's not like some other sports like football where you lose one. Baseball, you can lose quite a bit, one-third of the time, and still be the best. And one of the things we learned is when we went in the locker room, the first thing we would say is, don't hang your head. Don't hang your head. Get your head up. Shake it off. We lost the game, but we are going to win the season. Shake it off. And you know, some of you, God's saying the same thing. Don't you hang your head. Shake it off. You may have lost the game, but you ain't going to lose the season. You've already won it if you'll shake it off.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Some of you are going to get this today. You're going to get it in your spirit. Does this make sense? See, I we're the gateway of heaven, but we can't even open up the gate to heaven if our attitude stinks.
Yeah.
How are we going to bring the kingdom with the wrong attitude?
That's right.
We're not. And for some of you, God just said, you know, have you ever noticed that God, he's touched by the feelings of your infirmities, but you know, so he doesn't put up with them very long. I had this big guy in Alaska, and he was over like the Dream Center over there. Big guy. I mean, he's like 6'4 and about 300 pounds and actually muscle. And he had, you know, he had about 12 kids that were coming off of drugs that were his kids. And his favorite saying, and it made me laugh, was suck it up, buttercup. I mean, he'd be there, and you'd hear one of these little, how hard it was. He'd suck it up, buttercup. And before long, they were saying it to each other. I liked it. I said, man, that should be part of the church vocabulary. Suck it up, buttercup. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. See, losers talk about what they're going through. Winners talk about what they're going to. See, I found out something. If you'll listen to yourself talk, you'll know either why you're heading towards victory or into victory. Because as long as you're in faith, you're winning. Guess what? If you talk like a loser, you lose. I'm sorry. But it's the truth.
Yes, it is.
You know, Paul called everything his light affliction for the glory to be revealed. You imagine most of you complaining to Paul? You don't understand, Paul. I witnessed and they said a bad word to me. I ain't witnessing again. I went to that church and the preacher hurt my feelings. I can see Paul saying, hurt your feelings? What? Oh yeah, it was awful. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. He'd probably say, suck it up, buttercup. Thus saith the Lord. He said, you want to know? And he said, look at my back. Three times, got 39 lashes. Shipwrecked. Did without food. Faced wild beasts. Once I preached the gospel, they stoned me to death. They didn't even leave me in the town. They dragged me outside. My disciples got gathered around me and prayed, and I got raised from the dead, went into the next city and preached the same message. And he said, I called this light affliction. Now tell me your thing again. Oh, boy. He wasn't good for a pity party. Paul, he'd say, endure hardness as a good soldier. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. Don't think it's strange. That's what Peter would say. Don't think it's strange that not everyone likes you. If everyone speaks well of you, that's when you need to consider what you're doing wrong. I don't have that problem. Keep your eyes on the prize and don't look back. Keep your eyes, come on, for the joy set before you, endure. You know, I found out something. If you honestly believe that you're going to end up where you're heading, if you honestly believe the vision God gave you, you'll always be full of joy. Come on. For the joy set before you. If the church needs anything, it needs oil change. Yes. The oil of gladness. Yes. Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
I get around people, I say, man, no wonder the sinners don't want to come in. I mean, you know, at least when they drink wine, they get happy for a little while. We just whine. Come on. Put your head to the plow and don't look back. Always talk. One of the things I always check is whether I'm talking in the direction I want to go. Always talk where you want to end up. If you believe James 3, and I do, that your tongue is a rudder, and we're the ship, but the little tongue is what guides the ship. So when you talk where you don't want to be, whether you like it or not, that's where you'll end up. You talk poor, you'll never be rich. You talk sickness, you'll never be well. You talk defeat, You'll never have victory. Why? Because if you believe you're heading towards something, act like you're going to get there.
Amen. Amen.
I remember when I was a youth pastor, one of the things that irritated so many of the youth groups in town. It is amazing how much persecution. I didn't get it from the center. I got it from the church. And one of the things I told my kids is that I want every one of you to tell everyone that this is the best youth group in Tulsa. We're the best. And I would actually have youth pastors call me up and say, your kids are arrogant. They think that you guys are the best. I said, they're right. We are the best. He said, oh, don't you think that's prideful? I said, you know, if people come into your youth group don't believe you're the best, what are they doing there? And if you don't believe you're the best, then maybe you need some improvement. But you know, after a couple of years, everybody was saying, we're the best. It became obvious to everyone else that Woody was right. Come on now. And some of you, honestly, you got to talk revival when it doesn't look like anything's happened. Yes. You've got to continue to prophesy victory.
Yes.
You know, most people won't listen to you until it turns.
Right. That's right.
But the only reason it turned is you kept saying it. Come on. Well, most of your family thinks you're crazy, but if you believe both you and your household shall be saved, there comes a day they become crazy too.
Amen.
Come on now. It's just the way it is. Why? If you keep speaking it and speaking it and speaking it, the power of life and death is in the tongue. It's right there, baby. Everyone gets what they said. Most people, unfortunately, say what they have, calling things that are as though they are, and they wonder why nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
Einstein? Come on. We should say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. You know, I had to begin to change the way I talked when I was dealing with a lot of physical symptoms. And I still deal with some stuff. I just don't let everyone know it. And guess what? Stuff that the doctors told me, he told me, he said, you'll be able to walk, but you won't be able to run. Well, I run 3 miles a day.
Praise God.
You know, but it started with me running my mouth.
There you go.
Come on now. My feet couldn't run, but my mouth could. But eventually, eventually, literally, if you release, see, you're a speaking spirit.
Yes.
And the creativity in your life is tied to your tongue. So you need to get your speaker, your believer, and your speaker attached.
Yes.
That's part of the problem in the church, is we may even believe, but we don't speak. And if you don't speak, nothing's created. If God himself believed that light should be and never spoke it, we'd still be in darkness.
That's
right. So with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with mouth he confesses unto salvation. See, God literally wants you to make sure that faith, that your faith speaks. Faith has a voice. Come on.
Yes.
If it's a living faith, it speaks.
Yes.
You know, you need to say to the mountain. You can believe the mountain will move all you want to, but until it comes out of your mouth, it ain't moving. Come on. How many of you understand that? You know, I know how that happened. You know, I mentioned my son, and in the miracle, during the miracle, my head, when my son was, they left him to die in the delivery room. And he hadn't had oxygen for over 45 minutes to it. And they basically gave up on it. And I picked him up, and I was screaming, "He shall live and not die, he shall live and not die." You know what was going through my mind? What was going through my mind was my wife and I in front of an open grave with a casket. But you know, my heart and my head were in conflict with the heart man believes. My head had that idea. I didn't take it. I didn't say it. The Bible says, take no thought saying. I spoke what the Word said and what I believed. He shall live and not die. He shall live and not die. And you know, as I ran through the hospital with security chasing me and forced them to put him on a neonatal unit. And when the doctor came to me and told me they wanted him to die. They said, "Don't you understand he's going to be a vegetable? You'd have been better off if he would have died." I looked at the doctor, and I told the doctor, I said, "He's healed." And I wasn't trying to work up faith. I just was there. It's what popped out. He said, "The doctor said he can't be healed. You don't understand medicine." I said, "He is healed. You don't understand God." But had I given in to the thought pattern and stopped, he wouldn't be here today. Or if he is here today, he wouldn't be the same boy he is today.
That's right.
That's what faith does.
Yes.
That's why God likes faith. He says it pleases him. It pleased him. That moment in my life, I know I pleased God. It pleased God when I stood in the gap and literally heaven invaded earth and turned something around. That pleased God.
Amen.
I wish I could say, "Oh, I'm always that way." But I want to position myself that way.
Yeah.
Don't ever let the devil have the last word.
That's right.
Don't ever.
Yes.
I mean, when you look in Luke 4, when it says the devil tempted Jesus, it says Satan left. The reason why he left is Jesus won the battle of words.
Yes.
Come on now. And some of you, you've allowed the devil to have the last word. Start speaking again. Start speaking again. Don't ever let the devil have the last word. If you don't win the battle with your mouth, you'll never win it naturally. Come on, somebody. Is this okay? I mean, see, I remember years ago, you've heard me tell a lot of these stories. I mean, when you come back every year, well, you're used to your pastor. Here he goes again.
Amen.
Amen. But one of these days, come on now, years from now, if you're like 15 and he's like 110, goes home. You'll remember those stories and miss them?
Yes.
Say, "Oh, I miss those goofy stories." That's what people think about mine too. I understand that. But one of the things I taught my son and what I watch is you can always tell what someone's full of by what comes out of their mouth. How many people are saying you can locate people by their words? If I listen to someone's speech, it doesn't take me very long to know if they're going somewhere. Come on. Because, you can't help but speak what fills your heart. I told a story when my son was in Walmart that time, and that huge guy, I wish he was little, but he was huge. And he let out with an expletive that no one should use, but especially Christians. And I don't know if the guy was a Christian, probably not. But my son was with me. He's about 3 or 4 at a time. He said, Daddy, is that what that man's full of? And that guy didn't look happy at me. I said, Joey, not now. He said, but you told me you can always tell what someone's full of by what comes out of their mouth. I said, not now. And by that time, he's angry, you know. But the lady next to him is laughing so hard, tears are coming down her eyes. And she grabs hold of his hand, looks him in the eye, says, yeah, that's what he's full of, all right. You're like a tooth of toothpaste. Come on now. When you squeeze, what's on the inside comes out. You know that. You know that, man. You know, I remember one time I was driving, cross country, and I was on the I-70 driving east, and there was an ice storm, and I hit an ice patch. And my car started spinning. There are like 3 lanes on each side of the road there. And I started spinning around the circle, right on the I-70. And there were 2 semis coming. And I knew that, number one, if they avoided me, they'd be in serious trouble. I just closed my eyes because I didn't want to see my last moments. And I just said, Jesus! It wasn't one of those things where you think. It's one of those moments where whatever's in there. I knew I needed them. And I can't tell you what happened. All I know is eventually I was still spinning, and I looked, and somehow the 2 semis were in front of me. I don't know if big angels picked up those trucks. I don't know what happened. I don't care. All I knew is I was going to the rest stop and not driving anymore for a long time. But I also know I'm grateful that Jesus was the word I said. Come on now. Someone else might have said something else, and guess what? They might have faced an eternity that was full of what they said. You know, come on, somebody. Does that make sense to you? Trying to be nice? Come on. See, how many people understand that what you expect, you attract? You know, I found out something about people. Almost everybody gets what they expect out of life. Almost everybody does. When I was working as a boss with Farmers Insurance Group, I'd hire contractors, and people would come in and put in applications. And I remember I'd always ask them, how was your last job? And so almost, about 90% of them would complain. Oh, it was so hard. It was so terrible. They were so unfair. It was And they'd ask me, well, how will this place be? I said, probably like that one. Then I talked to a few people, and they would say, the last job was wonderful. I enjoyed my boss. I enjoyed the situation. There just was either no future there or the finances weren't there. And I really need to be making more money. And they'd say, how is this place going to be? I said, probably like the last place, but with a bigger paycheck. Because I found out it wasn't what was external. It was something that was internal. Because they were expecting. I remember, I used to love watching Oral Roberts say, something good is going to happen to you. Something good. Most people don't believe that. I remember they would get angry when he said something good. If he had said something bad's going to happen to you, all the religious people, amen. Oh, it's a testimony service. Let me tell you what the devil did to me. Come on. I used to hate those testimony services. It's like, devil put cancer on me. Bless his holy name. you've been to those. You feel like slapping them. It was sad, and each one would top it. It was a pity party, a party with the pit. But how many of you know that what you expect, you attract? Expect a miracle. Jeremiah 17:5, it says, curse of the man that trusts in his flesh, makes flesh his trust. He says, that man can't see when prosperity comes. He's not looking for it. He's not in position. When you're not expecting anything from God, you're not in position to receive from God. If you expect to hear from God, you will. If you expect to experience the glory of God, if you believe you will see the glory of God, if you expect to experience the glory of God, you will. If you expect to be healed, to experience your healing, you will. Most people get what they expect. They're kind of like the Eeyores. Nothing good ever happens to me. You know, Eeyore, I mean, it could be a sunny day with no wind, and he'd build a hut, and a one little wind thing would blow just his hut down. Because he expected it. Some of you, you've been there. You used to expect good, but you went through some trials. Now you may not expect bad, but many of you, you expect to get by, and that's what happens. Because according to your faith, you could say according to your expectation, so be it. Don't shout me down. You know, I remember, you know, the key to miraculous. I remember a lady came up to me several years ago, and she was healed a fourth stage of liver cancer. She was a nurse. She had less than 3 months to live when she attended that meeting that night, and she had seen me before. I'd seen her before. You know, I've prayed for her before. But, you know, I didn't at the time. The other time she didn't have cancer. I didn't know she had cancer that night. She just came forward with all the people. You know, everyone came forward. But she had said to herself when she found out she had the cancer, doctors gave her the report, if I can just make it to that meeting, I'll be healed. I was her point of contact. I can't heal anybody, but Jesus can. But she had seen me operate in the ministry, so she was confident in the anointing on my life. And she just felt like that was the meeting she'd get her manifestation. And she kept saying it, and that night was the night she got her miracle. But why? Because she expected it. Years ago, when a little girl came up to me with a severe club foot, it was hard to look at. She was a beautiful young 5-year-old girl. And I was at church before the service. She pulled on my jacket and she looks up at me and she said, tonight I'm supposed to be healed. And I said, honey, you want me to pray for you right now? She said, no, I'll tell you when. She was a feisty little thing. She knew what she wanted. And I'll never forget that night because I prayed for a lot of people. I was about ready to close the service. She still hadn't come up. Finally come up and grabbed my coat and said, now. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to pray for her? And he said, put her on a chair, take off the sock, and command that foot to be normal. So I did. Nothing. At least nothing I could see. So I shook the foot a little, slapped it a little, didn't want to hurt too much. Did everything I knew to work up an anointing, nothing. You could feel the faith sucked out of the whole room except for one little pocket, and that was sitting in the chair. She was so happy. And it bugged me. She was happy. It made me even more sad. Because I kept saying, God, when she faces reality. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I didn't say it, but I was thinking it. What I didn't know is that Friday she had been to her class, told her entire class she was going to walk in with a normal foot on Monday. She's 5 years old. She made her mom go out and buy her normal shoes. And her parents were so upset. She's singing on the way home. They're crying. When they put her to bed that night, she's still singing. And they were dreading when she woke up in the morning. And when she woke up in the morning, she ran down the stairs and she had her new shoes on. She was ready to go and God had healed her. Why? She expected a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood expected. She kept saying to herself, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Most of us, we kind of hope and pray, which doesn't have much hope in it at all. We expect to be prayed for, and we get what we expect. We got prayed for. Come on. You know that's right. Come on, because what you expect, you attract. See, how many of you understand that God has so much He wants to bring out of us? Come on. Impression without expression leads to depression. And I found out when you're constantly expressing your gift, it's hard not to be happy. One of the things I love watching my son is I've never seen someone enjoy his zone like he does. It's the ozone, I think. But, he just gets locked in that little realm. And it's like he is absolutely in nerd heaven. it's like, whoa. When he went to Intel and he got around their think tank, oh, man, you would have thought, the glory of God was all over him. It was fun for me to watch. Didn't understand a word of it, but it was so much fun. Why? Because that's his expression. God's foreordained from the foundation of the world, good works that are in you that you should walk therein. There are things you're programmed to do. When I pray, I love preaching. I know Gordon loves preaching. That's why we don't shut up. That's why when we say in closing, we mean that it means absolutely nothing. Because we love it. We love to preach, and we love the anointing because it's what we're called to do. I have one friend of mine in Buffalo who's the best cook, not like my mama, but the best cook. She loves to cook. I love to let her. It's a gift. And a lot of times she said, I'm not very gifted. I said, you gotta be kidding. Every time there's a fundraiser, they'll buy her pie for $1,000. It's worth it. Why? She was born to do that. When you do what you're born to do, you get joy.
Yes.
When you basically are using your gift to reach others, that's why the Apostle John said, these things I write to you that my joy, not yours, mine. I'm writing these things so I can get happy. There's sometimes I feel selfish blessing other people. People say, we love. He said, no, you don't understand. Life would be sad if I couldn't do what I do. Woe unto me lest I preach the gospel. Some of you, you got a woe unless you can love on little kids, unless you can do certain things. Come on now. You take my son out of the idea, Raymond. He's so bored. He's got to come up with things that have never been done before, or he gets bored. Most people read comic books. He lives one. I love it, though. I love watching them do these things, and everyone thinks I'm smart because I'm his dad, and as long as I don't open my mouth, we're okay. Come on. The last thing I'll say today, and then, because I go on forever with this, but this is good for you. It's my stuff, man. It's like I kept thinking, I said, I bet all of us can. There's inventories in our life that we just know foundational truths we need to look at times. But, you know, one of the things I've taught a lot is that when you're disappointed, you're not trusting God. And that's why I always check in my life. I say, God, it's impossible to be disappointed and trust at the same time. It's impossible. The very fact that you're disappointed means you're not trusting. Because if you believed all things work together for your good, that God causes them, not all things were good, but God can take what the enemy meant for evil and work it for good. If you believe that God does cause all things, even bad things, to work for you, not against you, then you wouldn't be disappointed. So every time I'm disappointed, I have to, it's a light that goes on. Okay, God, it's time to trust you in this. Several years ago, and this is hopefully my final closing. Then Gordon will get his. But, you know, several years ago, I'd been praying for years to minister at a certain church, and I didn't even pray to minister there. God told me I was supposed to. And it was a pastor I didn't like. I mean, you know, I'm a man's man, and he was not quite that way. And, you know, I mean, it was like our personalities clashed anyway. And the Lord told me, he said, you're supposed to minister there. So I kept, every time I'd go in the region, he had the largest church in the region, I would go and take him out to lunch, even though I didn't really like the guy. I just put on a happy face. You know, and, you know, I was waiting for God to tell him. And the Lord wouldn't release me. I said, Lord, he's not hearing from you. Maybe you're not talking to him. I don't want to talk to him either. And the Lord said, just, you know, I'm going to open this thing up. And I'll never forget, you know, how it opened is as I was preaching in the region, they were having John Bevere there that day, and I had a day open. And I knew John, so I figured I'd go hear him. And they had a minister section. Instead of having it in the front of the church, they had it in the back of the church. So we're sitting in the back. And there were like 35 pastors. Me. He began to acknowledge everybody there. And he looks at me and he said, do I know you? I don't think I've ever met you before, brother. And I'll tell you, that spirit of offense. You know what was going through me? You think you're hot stuff. I speak to more ministry that helps people in my church. We have 2,500 volunteers I speak to, you know, once a month. Who do you think you are, not knowing who I am? But one thing I found out about God is he'll tell you two things at all times. I love you and shut up. Well, that wasn't the I love you part. That was the shut up part. You know, this is what he told me. He said, shut up. He basically said the same thing he told Moses. He said, shut up. He said, and Moses had to tell people, be quiet, shut up. That's what God told me. He said, shut up, I'll work for you if you'll be quiet. He said, now trust me to work this for your good. So underneath my breath, I said, God, I won't take an offense, but you said, great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, verse 165. So I said, I will not be offended with this, and you're going to work it for my good. And then he looks at me again. He said, brother, who are you? Stand up. I said, oh. And, you know, by that time I had released it. I said, okay, you know. Hopefully this will be the last time I ever have to talk to him, though. Still felt that way. And I just stood up and just said, okay, I'm Woody Woodson. And his face turned all red. He said, brother, I can't see that far back. He said, I don't have my contacts in today. He said, you know, I'm so sorry. And he gave me a meeting at the church because he felt sorry for me. He gave me a meeting because he had embarrassed me publicly. He knew it. He was out of order to do that, but he didn't, you know, it was a mistake, but maybe it was a God-ordained mistake because they would never have had me had he not embarrassed me. Come on now. And the first time I preached in that church, they fell in love with me, and then I became the most frequent speaker in that particular place. But God, you know, God showed me, but he says, because you trusted me, I could turn it. Had you not trusted me, had you held on to the offense, the favor couldn't have flown. And many of us, we have literally gotten so disappointed and we feel justified that God can't work in it. And God wants you to release your disappointments tonight. Once and for all, I've made a decision. I will never live another disappointed day in my life. I won't. I may have disappointing moments, but then I'll trust God. I will never have another disappointing day in my life. You know, people say, are you ever disappointed? I said, no. I said, do I ever experience it? Yes. Do I hold on to it? No. And you know something? It's kept us going forward. Am I helping someone tonight? I could say I want every head bowed, no one looking around, but half of you fall asleep. I pray God give you a dream, though, and you'll be okay. I want every head up. I think I know most of you in here. How many of you know you're saved in here? Nod at me if you know you're saved. You guys all know, right? You all know. You know Jesus. But how many of you would say with me that, you know, I believe God that we... How many of you say, I want to be in the right position? I just want to position myself. I believe there's an anointing that God will show us things so at times we will examine. You don't have to examine yourself all the time, but you know, there are times it's healthy to look. I love that about, one of the things I love, again, about my little boy is that, you know, anytime you put up anything on the website, you get people who love it and people who hate it. And people, you know, I mean, people, there are two people that gave him a one out of five. And those, one of them was the owner of one of the competing websites. So it was no big deal, one, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, some of them gave him like a three, and he laughs. You know, my wife is like, oh, my baby, they're not saying he's perfect. And he's, and you know. And Joey's like, you know, they're writing some of their things. I mean, he said, we just got this up. I'm learning. So, you know, that's how smart you can get sometimes. Just say, hey, God, I'm correctable. God, if you want to make an improvement, show me. If you want me to make an adjustment, show me. How many of you had an area I mentioned tonight, you know, whoa, it spoke to you too, and you need to kind of get something tweaked? If that's you, raise your hand. There's no condemnation. See, how many of you know that, you know, let's begin to plan like we never have before. If God's going to be doing things, we should have plans. I found out failure to plan is planning on no future. You either plan for the future or you don't have one. Come on. God's a planner. If you want prayer, I want prayer. How many of you need a healing tonight too? I'm going to pray for those who need a healing in their body because I know what it's like. Like I said, we're overcomers. We're the healed. Amen. I had so much more fun to be on this side of things, even though I occasionally have my body talk to me. I just talk back to it. Hey, you know, people say, you get around people our age even. And they'll start talking age. Dumb. And I think, you know, they're right. They're old. I'm not, but they're old. They, you know, I mean, I may be younger and older than they are, but they're old. Because if they want to be old, they can be. I'm going to be young when I'm 100 years young. Come on. If you want prayer, come on up. I want to pray for you tonight. Come on. Can I pray for you? I don't know what else to say. Just see, I believe this is a year for more, 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 more. I mean, it's a year God's restoring things before, you know. Some of you, you're going to get your confidence back. You gain your attitude back, you know, and the right one. I think it's okay to know who you are. You know, I've been in situations and I've watched people. I love, like, you know, what's it, the guy from Israel, I can't know how to spell his name, but, you know, the Yahoo, whatever his name is. Yeah. Well, I like him because, I just call him Yahoo. But, but if I called him Yahoo, he'd give me the look because he knows who he is. I just don't. No. But, you know, I like people like that because they walk in authority when they walk in a room. Yeah. Most people I know, they don't walk in authority. Jesus did. Mm-hmm. When he walked in the room, when he talked, he didn't talk like the scribes and Pharisees. Yeah. They recognized he has authority. Some of you, God's going to begin to restore that authority. Mm-hmm. Come on now. That authority. Lift your hands up towards heaven. Start thanking God. Thanking God he's positioning you. Thanking God for miracles. Thanking God for signs and wonders. Thanking God for a breakthrough right now. Thanking God. Lord, I thank you right now for my sister. I thank you for the anointing of God all over her life, Father. I thank you this is her year. I thank you for a healing power flowing all over her. I thank you, God, for breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. You're a faith woman. Let that faith arise. Let that faith arise. Come on now. God, I thank you for what the good you've done. Finish it. Finish it in her body. Finish it in her heart. Father, thank you for just that faith lift going on. There's a leap in her spirit right now. This is your time. Watch out, girl. Woo! Take another drink. It's good. God is anointing young people. And us old ones, we're getting young so we get anointed. But God, I thank you for the anointing all over her life. I thank you, God, for more revelation of you than ever before. I thank you for breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. You might as well get excited, girl. You can dream big. God says, everything I have is yours. I'm going to reveal it to you and through you. We don't have to wait to be old to receive stuff. God's going to begin to use you like never before. You're going to begin to hear his voice clearer than you ever have before. You know, any questions, God said, just bring the questions to me. And I'll give you answers, declares God. And I'll show you things to come. As you delight yourself in me, I'm going to put desires in your heart, then I'm going to make sure they come to pass. We release that anointing now. God says, get ready to be used like you've never been used before by God. It's a season. It's a season. God's repositioned everything. You know, there's been so many adjustments, but you know, this is an adjustment of, it's like you've adjusted towards life again. And life is flowing again, and you're starting to flow again. The blessing's starting to work again. And God's just working all things together for good. I release that anointing now. Father, I declare this is a year of victory. Of triumph. God, she's got her fire back. They got their life back. Come on now. You're restoring everything the devil has stolen. Sevenfold. In Jesus' name. God's making up for some stuff now. He's making up for some wasted years now. There's an anointing, God. There's healing virtue flowing. I release that now. God, you've been so good. You've sustained them. You've carried them. But God, now you're going to heal them so you can run again. And we release that anointing now in the name of Jesus. God's going to begin to change the picture on the inside first. Sometimes we've been through stuff. It's hard to get the picture turned on. But God's beginning to put a fresh picture. Watch out, girl. You're on the move again. It's like deep calls on the deep. There's a deep that's answering. God says, everything I show you, I'm going to make a way where there is no way. He said, God, I don't know how this can be done. He said, I do. God, I don't know how we're going to pay for it. He said, I'll pay for it. He said, I'm a provision God. I've given you vision, I'll back it. I've given you vision, I'll back it. I will perfect that which concerns you. And I'll make a way for you and your family in Jesus' name. So I've seen God do the impossible. Years ago, we knew the day would come when we'd be facing college costs. And we started sowing seeds years ago. And I think it's come back to us. Because it looks like it's taken care of. Now, we'll be glad when the final line is signed. But the bottom line is, I believe we can send our seed in front of us. You guys have been sowing a lot of seed over the years. And now it's harvest time. It's harvest time. God's going to rain on the seed. He said, I have not forgotten. I've not forgotten the labor of love. Nor have I forgotten anything I've shown you. And I'm breathing on it again, declares God. Stir it back up. Stir it back up. You're going to begin to see. I'm going to begin to draw all sorts of people from different directions. All sorts of age groups are going to begin to invade this place again.
Thank you, Jesus.
All sorts of age groups.
Yes, hallelujah.
This will be a three-generational church.
Yes, hallelujah.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Praise
grandparents
Jesus.
And parents and children.
Yes.
We release that now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Get ready to see it. You guys are about ready to get younger. You're going to get younger yourselves.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God's going to bring younger people in. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. It's a new. I release that healing virtue now. God. She's been standing in faith. God, we thank you for the manifestation.
Praise you, Father.
Her expectation, she just knows it. She knows it's a done deal. But God, we're just going to ask you, seal it tonight.
Thank you,
Father. Lord, we're asking that this battle won't have to be fought anymore.
Praise you, Jesus.
The Lord, it'll just be one of those chalked up to you.
You
took care of it, you turned it, and you worked it. We release that anointing now. That is a new fresh fire, new fresh fire. It's so much fun. Things are about ready to get fun around here. Things are about ready to get fun around here.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's almost like God, I mean, people won't recognize the place. Because it's going to get fun again. That's what it's fresh vision. It's all over you. It's like, okay, God, it's our time now. It's my time now. I'm back, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back, and I'm better. You know, I love it when we've been through something and we've learned, but we're on the other side of it. Because we have the advantage of learning, but thank God when we're on the other side. So, Father, I thank you for all so much vision, so much joy. Lord, things that you have shown her over the years, you're revisiting, you're breathing on. You're making them current, God. You're bringing them up to date, God.
Yes, thank you.
And God is like, this is going to be the funnest time. And Lord, she'll be able to take her wisdom. Imparted to a bunch of fresh fire people.
You,
we
Jesus.
Release that anointing
thank
now.
You, Jesus.
In Jesus'
you,
name.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God's going to raise up an army.
Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus.
Keep dreaming. Keep envisioning. You're always going to be that rescuer. You know that. And you love it. You love to see and give a future to someone without a future. So God, I release that anointing right now, Father. God, I thank you for the way you've blessed her, but I'm asking for even more, Father. I'm asking, God, make a way where there is no way. I'm asking, God, that this will be times of refreshing from your presence. And God's smiling down at you, so you might as well smile back. You know, he's saying, hey, cast the care right now. You don't have to carry that. God wants you to walk out of here light tonight. Not worried, not trying to figure out how it's going to work. God says, I'm going to work it for good. So let go of that. There it is. It's all right. God said, I'm for you. And I'm working in this thing, and I'm going to work it for good. So you're going to need to begin just to see that again. You know, sometimes in the middle of things, it's hard to see it. But it's good to be reminded. You're such a blessing. Don't you ever lose that compassion. I know you won't. There's a gentleness in you that makes you great. Understand that. It's good. I love gentle people. I'm not one of them, but I love them. You know, I'm like the old coach. But, you know, we need the gentle people and the mercy mode of people. And God just began to stir. He said, stir that back up. Stir it back up. Stir it back up. He said, you know, I want to put the mantle of praise all over you again. The mantle of praise. The mantle of praise for that spirit of heaviness. The mantle of praise. I'm just going to put that mantle of praise all over you. He says, you begin to praise me, I'm just going to begin to sit all over some circumstances. And you're going to see my blessing. And he said, you're going to begin to hear and position yourselves to have a direct line again. Well, you'll hear clearly. Let go of the disappointments and trust me in this, declares God. For this is a new season, and you'll begin to hear my voice afresh again. And it's going to start with beginning to praise me, because praise will be the entry point. You'll enter. You'll enter. But your gates with thanksgiving, but the courts you're going to enter with praise. And you'll know when you're in the courts of the king, because you're going to hear my voice, declares the Lord. It's a new season. God's going to begin to answer some situations. God, I thank you for your healing virtue flowing through my sister right now, Father. I thank you for strength, Father. You're strengthening her. God, that there's a new strength, that there's a fresh fire going. That God, all of a sudden, everything's going to become new and fresh again in the name of Jesus. You might as well dream big. Elevate. God said, I'm going to lift you above that. I've seen you far above. You're going to look down on that situation. And the enemy's going to be your footstool. And you're going to have the last laugh. So you might as well start laughing now by faith. We release that anointing now in the name of Jesus. What do you believe in God for? Father, right now we release that anointing, God. And I thank you, God, there's a fresh faith all over my brother, Father. I thank you, God, there's a leap of faith, God, that this is going to be a season of supernatural growth. And God, it's just almost like, God, it's going to be so exciting again. Open up doors. Open up where there is no way, make a way. And Lord, put a fresh fire all over him. And Lord, help him to reach out to others, God, because he has so much to give in Jesus' name. This is your season of fruitfulness. And people you're believing for, they're going to turn around. They're going to turn around. Get, you know, just, you know, people, no one would have expected you. So when you see people say, man, and God said, remember where you were? Oh, okay. That's easy, God. That one's easy. Because God's doing a fresh thing. Come on. Get so excited, girl. God says, I'm going to begin to just show you possibilities. I'm going to begin to show you how I'm going to reveal my love in fresh ways. There's so much I want to give. And he said, sometimes you feel so unworthy. But he said, I'm going to begin to take that away. And I'm going to put in that the worth I put in you, declares God. And you're going to have a revelation of my worth. And you're going to be able to get up and receive freely from me. There are things you say, God, you know, I don't deserve it. He said, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you what I purchased for you. It's not based on your performance. It's based on mine. This is a new day. You might as well get excited, girl. It's all yours. It's all yours. Come on now. God is just stirring again. Young men of faith and power, made for signs and wonders and miracles. You might as well begin to just dream big with God. God's going to give you dreams and visions and desires. He's going to take you places in Him. He's going to begin to show you. And there's going to be things you'll see and say, God, I'd like to do that. And you'll hear Him say, you will, you will, you will. And even now He's put leadership in your bones that's going to start coming forward in the name of Jesus. There is just a desire for righteousness, and you're going to stand for what's right and true. God says, I'm going to make you an oak of righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for my sister, Lord. Thank you for your goodness all over. Thank you, God. You love her so much. And God, you love her and you love through her. The God... once again, you're going to show her how valuable she is, Father. God says, I have plans for you. I'm going to give you a future. I'm going to give you a hope. And you're going to see my goodness. And those loved ones you've been praying for, God says, I'm going to turn it around. Your prayers avail much. It may not look good, but don't be moved by what you see. Because I'm moving on their behalf. And I'm putting a hook in their jaw.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to draw them back in.
Thank you, Lord.
They can't run from me. Everywhere they run into me. They may think they're in a pit partying. But I will have a servant of righteousness, even in the pit, that will have a message for them. So just know your prayers are availing much in Jesus' name. Come on now. How many of you got something tonight?
Yes.
Amen. You're a blessing. What do we need? Your knee. You need a knee. Well, I know how that one is. You know, having played sports and having had several knee surgeries, that was the one they said, you know, that was the first time I was told I wouldn't be able to walk without a cane. They said, by the time you're 40, you'll be walking with a cane. And, you know, I guess when I reach 40, no, just kidding. Now I'm running 3 miles a day. And I'm going to believe God for that. Which knee is it? Okay, let's believe God, okay? Father, I thank you, God, for healing for that right knee. I'm making sure it's the right one. Yes, it is. Lord, you can heal, you know, strengthen the other one too. But Lord, thank you, Lord, that all that pain leaves. All the strain goes. God, I thank you the cartilage functions properly. I thank you, God, that she just has total leverage, total flexibility, with no pain. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, that I thank you for your healing to be manifest right now. That by your stripes, she's the healed anyway. So lay that healing be manifest in that knee for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're such a blessing, it's ridiculous. Give me a hug. You're sweet.
I need healing in my foot.
You need healing in your foot.
Yeah, my heel have.
Well, that's because you've been stomping on the devil so much.
I stomped on him crooked knee.
Oh. Well, Lord, you know. Yeah, it says our heel might be bruised, but it doesn't have to stay that way.
That's right.
That's it. So, Father, right now I thank you, Lord, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet.
Yes. Thank
Lord, heal that. Heal that heel? No. Heal that heel.
Yes.
That's it. That doesn't sound right, but it is right.
Yes.
Heal that heel, Lord.
Yes.
Let that healing flow into the heel right now.
Yes.
Lord,
you.
I thank you for the fire of God.
Oh, thank
dissolve
Jesus.
Anything.
Yes.
Praise dissolve Jesus. Anything that's in the way.
Thank you, Jesus.
May the bruises and the
yes.
and the soreness and the tenderness
yes. Yes.
go in Jesus'
thank
name.
Thank you.
Thank God,
you,
Lord, may she be able to walk without any problem.
Thank you,
run
yes.
unhindered.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, just thank you, God, right now. You've provided it. We receive it.
Yes.
In
thank
Jesus,
you,
there it is.
Jesus.
Healing virtue flow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Hallelujah.